First John chapter 2, verses 3 through 11. 3 through 11. The evidence of salvation demonstrated. The evidence of salvation demonstrated. The primary reason I think this book is given to us, to the saved, we may know that we are saved. And several times in these few chapters, I think about five chapters, that we might know. A lot of people says you won't never know till you get to heaven. God says in his word that you might know. Chapter 5, verse 13 says, you may know that you have eternal life, that you may know. Know so salvation, but not a say-so salvation, but a know-so salvation. Sunday, I had the title of our message, The Revelation of Salvation, in Romans chapter 10, verses 1 through 13, I think it was. It reveals truly what really salvation is. A lot of people say that they're saved. Well, the title here is The Evidence of Salvation. Well, it was on my mind, and it's demonstrated in our life. Now, John, in these verses of Scripture, gives us several tests. Now, out of school, I never really liked tests because most of the time I failed them. I didn't like tests, and I still don't like them. But you know what? God gives us tests whether we like it or not. And you have to take these tests whether you want to or not. And we got some tests. And that test is a know if we're saved. And it is the test of love. It's the test of love, the know that we are saved. In chapter 1, it says, if we say. There's a phrase in all that chapter 3 or 4 times says, if we say, if we say, if we say, in chapter 1. But in chapter 2, the phrase is changed. It says, he that saith, he that saith, he that saith. Several times that phrase, if we say, or he that saith. It's a test. You will find out in this test of love the birthmarks of a believer. See, if you born again, you heaven born and heaven bound. John says, you know what? There're going to be some birthmarks of your salvation. There're going to be some birthmarks that you are saved. Just like your first birth, your physical birth, you born in a family or whatever. And you know, a lot of families, there might be 10 or 15 in that family, but you say, well, I can tell you where that boy or that man or that woman or that lady come from, because they all look alike. You know, they all got that trace of that birthmark of that whole family, no matter who they are. You can always tell them. And so they're going to be a birthmark. I don't care. You're in the family of God, and you're saved. They're going to be some traces. They're going to be some birthmarks if you are heaven-born and heaven-bound. And It's one thing to talk about it, but it's quite another thing, John says here, to walk about it. Talk and walk is different. So let's read these verses of Scripture here, 3 through 11, here in the second chapter of 1 John, and see what John has to tell us about this test of love that he's going to give us. And by the way, it's an open book test. Now, I didn't mind them quite so bad whenever I was in school. You may not believe it, but I went to school, and I didn't like no test, but it was an open book test. I didn't mind it quite so bad. John's going to give you an open book test. And it says in verse 3, and hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandment. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandment, is a liar. Poor John, he puts it right to the point, don't he? And the truth is not in him. But whosoever keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected, whereby know we that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him, or to himself also, so to walk even as he walks. Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which ye have heard from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which we have heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which things is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past and the true light now shineth. He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is no occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in the darkness and walk in the darkness and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. Let us go again to the Lord in prayer. Father, we want to thank you, Lord, for this occasion here on a Wednesday night, a midweek prayer service, oh God, to lift up these names to you. And Father, many on our hearts and mind that, Father, we have not called out, but you can read our hearts and mind. And we thank you, Lord, for all loving God, all knowing God. And so many, Lord, we have on our prayer list and our prayer box that we lift up to you this hour. Father, especially Brother Marshall's in the hospital. We know the prayers, God, has been answered, and we want to thank you, Lord, in a very special way that your name has been glorified. We just pray here this night, Father, but truly we'll understand a little bit more about this great life that you have given us. And Lord, we live this life in you because you live it in us. And we just want to thank you this occasion that we can learn more about what you've already done for us and you're doing in us this very hour. And all these blessings we ask and thank you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and amen. As we get back to he says so and he says this and we say that, but we talk about now, you know, everything that people says is not necessary so. Did y'all learn that? Everything that people say is not necessary so. You know, a man went to the doctor and the nurses come out to see him. What you need? He says, well, I like to see the doctors. And the nurse went back and told the doctor, says, there's a man out there I'd like to see you, but he says he's invisible. Well, the doctor told the nurse, says, you go out and go tell him that we can't see him. You know, sometimes everything we say is not so. Everything we say is not so. Salvation. It's hard to find anybody will tell you when you start asking them if they're saved or lost. You go into hell when you die. Hard to find anybody that says, no, I'm going to hell. No, if I die, I'm going to hell. I could ask you that question tonight. If you died right now, where would you go? Where would you go? You know for sure that you'd go to heaven. Are you saved or not? Everybody, are you saved for sure that you saved? Then what would you say? Well, we have about 400 on our church roll. You may not believe that, but around about 400, I imagine, on our church roll. And I probably, if you could ask everyone on our church roll, they probably wouldn't be the first person would tell you they're lost and they need to be saved. Everyone, I guarantee you, would probably tell you, yep, I've been down that church. Been down that baptism. I'm on the church roll. I'm a Baptist, member of Pleasant Hill Baptist Church. I'm going to heaven. That's what they say. John says a little bit different. John says a little bit different. Everybody, he says, is talking about going to heaven is not going. Did y'all know that? If we say, he that saith, practice in these verses scriptures versus profession. Your practice will show whether what you got is what he's talking about. You know what Jesus said in Matthew 7:21? Not everyone that said unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Jesus Christ says everybody is talking about heaven. Everybody's saying, Lord, Lord. Everybody is on a church roll is not going to heaven. The evidence of salvation must be demonstrated in the person's life, the test that we must take by the Word of God. John gives us several series here of tests to help us to know that we have salvation. Now, it's one thing, you know, that people talk about, but you need to know, because you know what old Satan will do? He'll trick you if he can. Because, you know, most of us, I'd say all of us, after we've been saved, did you know that you'd sinned? Everybody know that? After you saved, you also sinned after you were saved. And you know what the devil like to tell you? You ain't saved. If you was a saved person, you're sorry, good for nothing thing. You wouldn't have done what you done. You wouldn't have said what you done. You wouldn't act like you done. You're sorry, good for nothing. You ain't fit to be saved. You ain't saved. Now, Satan will tell you that. And you'll be done everything you could do. But you know Satan will tell you that. And that's when you need to know the Word of God and say, Satan, yeah, I might have failed. But I tell you, I've asked the Lord to forgive me. And he forgive me. And I'm going to tell you, I'm under the blood of Jesus Christ. It's what God says and not how we act. Be careful, old Satan, because he is real. And this test that he's going to give us, help us to know, is based on love. When love becomes reality, and we're going to talk about this love, and this is going to be the evidence of salvation. You know why it's based on love? Because when you were saved, I'm getting ahead of myself, but I'm going to read this verse anyway. In Romans chapter 5:5, when we are saved, this is what happens. And the hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto you. When we got saved, God gave us this love and poured this love out into our heart. Give us something new. This love that God gave us. And this love, when the love becomes reality, that we'll know that we really got what God said, or what we think we had, or what we confess that we have, because the evidence is genuine. The test of evidence is a genuine born-again believer. And the first thing is, this first test is how love is perfected. This love that God give us, how is this love perfected in our life? Say the Holy Spirit comes to dwell in you. Love of God is just poured into our heart. And the test is, do we really have this type of love? And he gives us these tests of love to see if it's real to us. Do we really love like we should love when God has poured this love to our heart? Well, what type of love is he talking about? Well, there's about four different type of love in the Greek language, but there's two in the Bible. Philadelphia love that most of you knows about, you know, that's a social love, that's a brotherly love, Philadelphia love, that we love whether you say or not, you can love a brotherly love whether you say or not. But God's love is a agape love. God love. It's a brand new love when you get saved. Now, this is the love that he's talking about, because if you don't have this love in your heart, you're not saved. If the Holy Spirit hadn't put this love in your heart, you're not saved, because that is the Spirit of Jesus Christ that lives in us. If you're saved, born again, and you have this love, because it's been poured into our heart in the Spirit of God. And this is what was demonstrated there, that we have this. And in Romans chapter 5 and 8 also tells us, but God commended his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God demonstrated this love, sent his only begotten Son to exhibit this and to prove it on the cross of Calvary. While we was yet sinners, Christ died for you. What type of love did he give us? Agape love. This godly love is given to you. Sometimes you may be bought a car, not a new one, but sometimes you might have bought a car, and they might have a sale on the side of the window that says, as is. Anybody ever seen on cars, as is? You know what they tell you? We have a lemon law in our state, and those as is suggest that it's not brand new. There's something is wrong with the car. It's not brand new. You take it as is. It might be a broke cigarette lighter. I don't know what's wrong with the thing. The radio might not play or what it is. But as is, don't come back and complain about it after you bought it, because you see this sign. It says you sign right here, and you take this as is, takes care of that lemon law, because we know there's something wrong with it. Well, you know what God done? He knew there was something wrong with us. He knew we was nothing but a bunch of lemons, but he took us as is. Come just as you are. Well, God took us as is, just like we were. He died for us while we were yet sinners. And he paid the full price. Paid the full price. God did. You know, this is an old lemon like old IB was. And God paid a full price for me. And he bought me as is. And then he poured that love into my heart. And I see this test that I failed so many times. Love of God is perfected in us. This love, the God of love, perfected in us. It means, how's it perfected? It means brought to complete in us. It brought to the purpose in us. When did this love of God arrive, his intentions into our life? Well, John gives us this test and see if this love God's poured out into your heart. See if you're saved tonight. And we have this series of tests and see if it's being manufactured in us by this love of God in us. Gospel of John chapter 14 and 15 says, if you love me, keep my commandments. And here comes the test. If you love me, keep my commandment. Perfected purpose of this love is obedient test. If you love me, keep my commandments. Obedient test. And the evidence that love of God is reaching maturity in our life is that we obey him. That we obey the word of God. We obey him. And we see we come maturity in our lives. Back up in verse 3, it says, and hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. You see, and that's kind of negative, if we keep his commandments. That's a negative. Then verse 4 is kind of plain, it says, and he that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. That's kind of plain, isn't it? John says, you know, you say you love me, but you don't keep my commandments, you don't keep my word. What's he saying? If there's no desire in a person to keep the commandments of God, If there's no desire in a perfect heart, I don't care how many times they say they're saved, I'm saved, or, you know, I believe I'm this, that, and other, and I've been through the baptism, I'm a member of this church, that church, whatever they say. They say all these things, but if they're not willing to keep the Word of God, none of us don't keep it all the time. I don't mean we're perfect, but are there a desire in your heart to do what God wants you to do? Are there a desire in your heart to keep the Word of God? Not that we keep it all the time, but that desire there. It is the test. The truth is, you know, none of us are perfect. We know that. As we look at this test, see this desire. But if we not have no desire to do this, it says, you know what, you're lost. If you don't want to keep God's commandments. And this word keep, for us to pass this test, understand what he's telling us about keeping the commandments. Now, this word keep means guard as you would guard a treasure. Now, there's some things you have in your house, and a lot of people have these small safes. Now, they keep their stuff in these small safes, keep the house, if a house burns down or whatever, you know, you still have your good papers or whatever. It might be money, and much you've got all that money stored in them safes, I don't know. But anyway, you got treasures in there, and you guard this treasure. That's what this word talking about means, guard. You keep and you guard the commandment God has told you, and you guard and you keep this. And that means obey. Obey the Lord. That is the first test. And another word for this word is keep is a sailor's term. The ancient sailors, they didn't have this GPS satellite positions, you know, and they had to go by the stars. The stars. And so they would sail by the stars. At night they'd look up and they'd see the stars and they'd sail by the stars. And this word was mean keeping the stars. This is where old John got this word at. The sailors, you know, they sail by keeping the stars. That means they set a course towards that star. And they kept the star. They traveled towards that star. It says, if you'll keep my commandment. If you set your course of your life of keeping God's commandment, you're going to the star, and the stars are bright in the morning star of Jesus Christ. Keeping the commandments, that star. Now, Christians, the test is you set your course of your life by keeping the commandments. There's treasure in the commandments. Now, it don't mean that the sailor once in a while didn't get off course. The wind, the storms of life could blow him off course. But you see, when that night come and that star begin to appear, the sailor could bring that ship right back on course of life. And you and I the same way don't mean that we won't get blown off, but we'll put our keeping of those commandments in guiding our life of the commandments that God has told us, and we have a desire to do that, we'll sail on the course of life and we bring our life back in course. A person don't have no desire to live for the Word of God needs to be saved. If they have no desire for the things of God, the Word of God, they need to be saved. They're not keeping the commandments. And you don't get this backwards. Don't get this backwards now. I have known him. That's in the past tense. I have known Jesus Christ in the past tense. That's been done and settled 2,000 years ago with me. Now in the present tense, now I can keep his commandments. I know him. And can keep his commandments. Not that we won't keep all of them, but we can keep his commandments. Guard, guide, watch the commandments. Now, a lot of people get this backwards. They say, well, I keep his commandments, so I know him. No, you can't. You got to know him first. You got to know him first before you can set your eyes on the stars of keeping the Word of God. Keeping the Word of God. Don't get that backwards. We're not perfect. But there's a desire. I'm not perfect. Are there a desire in your heart really to do what God wants you to do? Yes, they are. Or you wouldn't even be here tonight. But you see, there's so many today, as old John says, you know, he that saith, he that saith, he that saith, like our church roll, they saith. They don't care what God wants them to do. If they're no concern the way, you're not concerned about God and the way he wants you to live, that love is not perfected in your heart. It's just not there. That love, there's a test we must take. And if you don't have that, Bo John says, well, you just failed the test. Well, let's look at verse 3 and 4 and see what it says in verse 3 and 4. And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandment. He that saith, I know him and keep not his commandment is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whosoever keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected, whereby know we that we are in him. Now, keep his commandment. Then he changes this a little bit. You see that? Those that keeps his commandment. Then he says, those that keeps his word. What's the difference between commandment and word? Change it a little bit there. Well, in the Gospel of John, chapter 14 and verse 15, it says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandment. In that same chapter, John chapter 14 in the Gospel, in verse 23, it says, Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words. And my Father will love him, and he will come unto him and make our abode with him. Jesus Christ also says, if he loves the Father, you'll keep my word. He's trying to make a little difference here between keeping the commandment of God and keeping the word of God. For instance, all of us got children. Dad comes in. Bill, I want you to take out the trash tomorrow. That is a commandment. Take out the trash, Bill. Well, Bill takes out the trash the next day, but also he looks out and says his car needs to be washed. And he heard his daddy say, boy, that car is mighty dirty. It needs to be washed. He didn't tell Bill to do it. But Bill took it on his own to wash the car also. So when the dad comes home and he sees the trash is taken out, yeah, well, thank you, Bill, for taking out the trash. But who washed the car? I did, Dad. Well, he says, I didn't tell you to wash the car, but I heard you say you wish it was washed. You know what he done? Bill wanted to help his father and do what he heard him say, his word. There's a lot of things that, you know, that we couldn't even pick up the Bible if he had all the commands in our life that Jesus wanted us to do. He couldn't write it down. He says the world couldn't contain all of it. It was as big, you couldn't pick it up and tote it. If he's writing all the commands that we're supposed to do. But you see, there are some words of Jesus Christ, and you know a lot of them that God wants you to do. He may not command you to do them, but he wants you to do those. And we know a lot of them, what it is. Well, we just go ahead and do that. That's love perfected in our hearts. Love wants to obey and carry out the wishes of the ones that we love. Now, if you have this love in your heart, you want to carry out the wishes of the one that you love. Same way with your family members, to carry out those wishes. Jesus Christ said, I do always the things that please him. Who's he talking about? His Father in heaven. I do always those things that please him. Do you always do the thing that please your Father in heaven? The test of love perfected. How are you doing on your test? Everybody here saved? Everybody here going to heaven? Test number two. How love is practiced. This is where the shoe leather meets the road. How love is practiced. Verse 6. He that said he abideth in him ought himself also to walk even as he walks. Okay, verse 5 said. Again. But whosoever keepeth his word in him verily is the love of God perfected, whereby know we that we are in him. Now what he's talking about, heavenly, hereby we know that what? We are in him. We know this. Then he adds some word there, that word abide in him. Now the difference is, we are in him, that's salvation. And then abide in him, that's fellowship. That's fellowship, what I talked about Sunday, that's fellowship. Salvation, we're in him, then abide in him is fellowship. There's a test to if abide, so walk in him. Now, put it into practice, the test, the practice of love, a desire to follow Jesus Christ, to walk as he walked. And the sum total of Jesus' life while he's here on this earth was what? He set his face towards Jerusalem and walked up Calvary's hill to die on a cross for my sins and your sin because it pleased the Father. It pleased the Father. You ought to walk. Today, if you have this love and you're saved, you got a moral obligation to walk like Jesus walked, to put love into practice. You're walking in the steps of Jesus Christ. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 21 says, for even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow his steps. Example, imitation, you know. Walk like him. Now, we're not saved now by this being imitating Jesus Christ. You're not saved by imitation. You're saved by identification. Then you start walking like Jesus. Nobody ever saved by imitating Jesus. See, our Catholic friends, this is one of the things that they believe in, is imitating Jesus Christ. Well, they're no greater example than Jesus Christ, are they? The thing about it is, nobody's never saved by imitating Jesus Christ's life. To start with, you couldn't do it no way. He went around doing good. Well, you need to do good. That's true. But you're not saved by imitating the perfect life of Jesus. And we can't do it anyway. But we are saved by identification, identifying with Jesus Christ by faith, identify his death and his burial and his resurrection. You identify with Jesus Christ. The Bible says you are followers of God as dear children if you're saved. That you mimic. You know that you the imitate. You ever seen little boys and girls imitate their daddy? You know, how about these little girls? You see them coming through the house, you know, with their mama's high heel shoes on, scuffling along, or they go in there to the dresser and they pull them drawers out and they get that lipstick and put it all over the face and the powder. Anybody ever say, everybody had that done? You know what they're doing? They're imitating their mother. And the boys, you know what? They imitate their daddy. It's kind of sad sometimes whenever our children imitate the things we do. It's not right, isn't it? You ever seen a little boy trying to smoke a cigarette, just pick up a piece of wood or stick, smoke a cigarette because he's imitating his daddy? Seen that? Sometimes it's kind of sad whenever we allow this, but you know, the day and the time that we're living, mothers and fathers, their kids are going to walk in your steps. Where is a mother and a father leading this younger generation to? The fathers will not lead their little ones to the house of God. But walking away from God, and the little ones will follow them. And the mothers and the fathers will not bring their children. And they won't set example for Sunday school, and Wednesday. Where are the mother and daddies leading our children today? I have a book in my library I read a couple of times. A lot of y'all probably have read it. The name of it is In His Steps. I believe Sheldon was the name of it. I can't remember, but In His Steps. And what it's all about, y'all ever heard WWJD? What Would Jesus Do? Well, this based on this book, WWJD, and it was about a church, and they decided in a situation, I won't go into it very much, but they decided in a situation, they start asking themselves, WWJD, what would Jesus do in this situation? What would Jesus do? And they started living their life in every area of their life. You go home tomorrow, you go home tonight, in the morning tomorrow, next week, and you say, well, what would Jesus do today? What would Jesus do in this situation? What would Jesus do? Walking in his steps. You see, what if our church rule, everyone in our church will ask ourselves that question, what would Jesus do? We reckon our church would even hold them. What would Jesus do? I've talked to a lot of people, you know, about coming to church, and they say, well, you know, I don't need to come to church or whatever, you know. And I ask them this question, and they say. And I say, well, you know, if Jesus Christ was living in your home, and he was a member of Pleasant Hill Baptist Church, and it got time for Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, where would Jesus be? Every time, you know what, they answered correctly, he'd be in church. Every time I've ever asked anybody that, they said, well, he'd be in church if he was a member of Pleasant Hill Baptist Church or whatever else. I said, did you know that Jesus Christ does live in your house? In fact, he lives in you, and you're a member of Pleasant Hill Baptist Church. I always get quiet when I say that, but it's the truth, is it not? If they're saved, how you doing on your test? How love is practiced? How love is perfected? But now, the last thing here, is this third test, is how love is presented, verses 7 and 8. Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which ye have heard from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which ye have heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write unto you. Which things is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past and true light now shineth. Here it comes now. No new commandment, singular. Well, what does he mean? He turns around and says, I'm not going to write no new commandment. And then the very next verse, he says, I'm going to write you a new commandment. I'm not going to write a new commandment in verse 7, verse 8, I'm going to write you a new commandment. But this is singular. What now? The singular in the Old Testament, there was 10 commandments. Y'all remember that? There was 2 tablets of stone. God gave the 2 tablets of stone. But they was divided in 2 categories. Half the category was a duty from God to God, and the other half the category was a duty unto man. Jesus Christ came along, and they asked him, what is the great commandments? There's 10 of them. Jesus said, love God with everything you really you got. With all your heart, love God. And the second is love your neighbor as yourself. These 2 commandments. And then Paul comes around after Jesus Christ there. And Paul in Romans 13 and 8, he says, now owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled all those commandments or all the laws. And that is to love. So he distilled this into the love. Love one another has fulfilled the law. The great commandment is love. That is, that covers all the commandment. Paul puts it together after Jesus Christ comes, and the greatest commandment is love. John says, I'm not going to give you a new one, I'm going to give you an old one. Well, what is the old one? The old commandment. It is God is love. Now, this love comes from God. Now, God is older than the universe. Now, this God is old, however it is, and the universe is old. We don't know how old God is. He's always been God. He had no beginning, no end. But the universe did. He spoke it into existence. Now, you see, you hear that it's several billion years old, and it gets older all the time, how old this universe is. Nobody don't really know. No matter how old this universe is, it's old. Y'all realize that? It's old. I mean, this universe is old. This earth, it's old. But it's not as old as God's love, because God was here before the universe. So this old commandment he's talking about is God's love. It's old. God's been around here. And it says old in its existence. This old commandment, God's love, is old in its existence. But it's new in its expression. It's new in its revelation. We love, this love that we never seen before is a love expressed in Jesus Christ. This new love in Jesus Christ, that we understand it. Jesus Christ loves sinners. Verse 8 again, which things is true in him and in you. This love was in Jesus Christ and in you. Love been around a long time. He says, now a new commandment. What's he talking about then, a new commandment? If it's an old commandment, it's love and it's been around a long time. 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ came into the hearts of a lot of people. Do y'all know that? 2,000 years ago, it's been a long time. Jesus Christ came, walked on this earth, died for our sin, went to heaven, sent the Holy Spirit back, and since that time, you know what? Jesus Christ has been coming into the hearts of people for 2,000 years. Well, the love is new in a way that he come into the heart like brand new, come into existence, old in itself, new expression. Well, what's he talking about new? Did you know what? I can remember whenever Jesus Christ came into my heart. Now, he'd have been around a long time, but I want to tell you when it appeared to this old sinner, doomed and damned on my way to hell, that love had been around a long time. John said, that was a new commandment to me. It was brand new. In the morning, if God lets us live, and you get up and you see a sunrise in the morning, the sun has been coming up for many, many years. Nobody knows how many years it's been coming up. It's old. But you appear in the morning, if you see the sunrise in the morning coming up, it'll be a brand new sunrise for you. And Jesus Christ is appearing in the hearts of people with a new love, even though it's an old love, an old commandment, been around a long time. But it's brand new when it comes in your heart as it has in mine. New emphasis. We live on the basis of love and not law. Aren't you glad this presented? The obedience and motivation by love, and it's better being motivated by law. Someone once say, you know, I don't have to come to church. I don't have to come to church. You certainly don't, because we're not motivated by law that you got to. But we are motivated by love that we ought to want to the role of our church members. There's no law says you got to. No law says you got to come to church to go to heaven. But I'll tell you what, if you say that you pass these 3 tests of love, I'll tell you one thing, you ought to want to because that you love. You love. If you don't have this desire, you need to be saved. You need to be saved. Taken care. You see, as I said, most of us had kids and grandkids. You don't get up in the morning and go to work and get those kids off to school and get a half a night's sleep and clean up the house and work for a living. You don't do all this because you say, man, if I don't get up and go to work and they're all going to come arrest me, if I don't get up and have some food on the table for the kids, and if I don't cook supper for them, and if I don't go there, if I don't do anything with my kids, they're going to come and arrest me. I better do this because the law says I better do it. Or do you do it because you love those children? Law or love? It's love. Love is the reason we do it. 9, 10, 11, and I'm about, golly, I won't get into that. Nah, I'm going to read it anyway. 9, 10, 11. He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abides in the light, and there is no occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness and walketh in the darkness and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. The contrast of love and hate is what he's saying here. Did you know if you're saved and this, and the love of God is shed abroad in our heart, you don't have the luxury of hating anyone, because love and hate can't stay in the same heart. You can't hate anyone. If you do, you need to be saved. You got to get it out, because God is love. How'd you do on your test? You pass your test? How love is perfected, how love is practiced, and how love is presented. Sometimes I don't score too good whenever I get checked by the Bible, the Word of God. Sometimes I even fail. Do you? My grades are not very high. But you see, Jesus Christ says, you know what? I'm going to go in and do it through you. And he does it through us. You know what, Jesus Christ, if I love anybody, I got to love them through Jesus Christ, or he got to love them through me. That's what it's all about. Are you saved tonight? If there's a person here right now, do you really know for sure? You really know for sure that you was died this very moment? Do you know for sure that you go right straight to be with Jesus Christ? Here's the test. You might say, yeah, I believe this, and ones that we could ask on our church roll, you can ask them, do you believe in Jesus Christ? Yes, believe in Jesus Christ, the perfect Son of God. I believe he walked on this earth. He never sinned. He came and he died on the cross for my sin, the death and burial and resurrection in Jesus Christ. I believe that he rose again. He sent the Holy Spirit back here on this earth. He's come again. I believe that. I believe that. I believe that. But see, he that saith, he that saith, he that saith. Remember I told you, son, just because you believe 2 + 2 = 4 do not mean that you're saved. That is a head knowledge. You can say it with your mouth. John says all you want to. But if you don't pass this love test, what you say with your mouth, you don't have the walk the walk, there's something wrong and you need to be saved. Are you saved? How'd you do on your test? I'm not grading you. Y'all know that. I'm not grading you. But the Lord is. Holy Spirit right now is grading everybody. How'd you do on your test? Thank you this night. And do we have Brother Barry a little song there? We're going to bow our heads in a silent prayer for just a moment. Anybody here this hour while they're bound in prayer?